Thanks for listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. Now, coming to you live from the banks of the Willamette River, it's Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman.
You've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
Online at 620kpoj.com and on the air at AM 620 KPOJ.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Welcome back to another episode of Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's one and only progressive talk station. And I know it's an amazing day out there. It's not a day to be sitting inside and listening to the radio. So I want you to grab your radio. I want you to grab your iHeartRadio on your iPhone. I want you to grab your telephone. I want you to go outside in the sunshine. And I want you to listen to all 3 hours of the show today because it is a great show, another great show. We have Sarah Mulner on the board, the lovely, the talented and wise Sarah Mulner. We have a new call screener, and I want you to work him over today. Josh Volvovic is our new call. Well, we use the term call facilitator here at Mad as Hell in America because that's a more politically correct term. We do not screen calls here. We facilitate calls here at Mad as Hell in America. So go outside, grab your radio, grab your phone. We have an amazing show. First hour, just me and you. And I'm going to give you my take on President Obama's brief speech about withdrawing the troops. I'm going to give you my whole take on that in a minute. And then we're just going to talk about that for the whole first hour. That and various sundry related tributary type of items. In the second hour, Naomi Oreskes is here. She is the author of a book called Merchants of Doubt: How a Handful of Scientists Obscured the Truth on Issues from Tobacco Smoke to Global Warming. Have you ever wondered, is it an organized effort to debunk every single piece of legitimate science that comes out there? Yes, it is an organized effort. It has been organizing for many, many years. And Naomi Oreskes, author of Merchant of Doubt, is going to be here to tell us just how organized and effective it is. And I'm going to tell you that it's even worked on me a little bit. And in the third hour, you know, we talk a lot about how do we get dangerous? How do we start a truth to power movement in this country? Well, we are going to have a young gentleman here. His name is Tim DeChristopher, and he derailed a land lease back under the Bush administration and is now facing 10 years in prison. In less than 4 weeks, he is going to be sentenced. He's been convicted of two counts, and I'll let him tell you what those counts are, and he's facing 5 years on each count. He is going to be here. He is an inspiring young guy. I have a clip from him that sounds like something that I could have played on the show about the 60s. I mean, it has the real radical edge to it. He's a part of a movement. Well, he's been connected to a movement called Peaceful Uprising. PeacefulUprising.org is the website where you can check out more in anticipation of the third hour. So it's an amazing show that we have for you. So you want to be in the sun, listening with your phone, work over my call screener. Josh, he's a nice young man. He can take it. And before I get into the monologue, I got this this email from Google Apps. It just scares the hell out of me. Dear Google Apps Administrator from madzellinamerica.com, you may have heard about our new infrastructure changes coming to Google Apps account. I had not. We strongly recommend that you transition your users now. If you do not take action, we plan to fully transition your organization ourselves in the next couple of days, including all users that you have not yet transitioned yourself. I have no idea what they're talking about. Could somebody send me an email at adam@madashellinamerica.com and explain to me what this is all about? I hate it when they say things like, we plan to fully transition your organization ourselves. But what does that mean? You see, that's where Google starts to scare me, you know? They're just getting a little too big for their flipping britches. All right. So, President Obama came out last week and said that he would start drawing down the troops in Afghanistan. 10,000 by December and 20,000 more by July of 2012. So that, in effect, he will have just a convenient 4 months before the presidential election, merely undone the Afghan surge he initiated almost from day one of his presidency. Now, of course, we all know, or maybe we don't know, his withdrawal would leave 68,000 troops and nearly 100,000, quote, private contractors in Afghanistan. Okay, so I don't know what message I'm supposed to take away from that. But anyway, and let's be clear about something. Those private contractors that they call, some of them are construction workers, but many, many, many of them are privately paid armed mercenaries who have been rolled out of the military for the sole purpose of working privately at the intersection of the American Armed Forces and multinational big business. Right. And a lot of these people are immune from any laws, our laws, international laws. I mean, so the private contractors are the thing that really scare me the most because they start to look like a private corporate army. Right. And that's the thing that we don't want. Right. We don't want a global corporate military, man. That's what really scares me. Anyway, back to the president. I really want to commend the president for his actions. You know, I want to like this guy, and I do, and I want to commend him for standing up to Petraeus, who wants an even slower drawdown. But I got to be honest, it's hard to see that what President Obama is doing is anything other than campaigning for reelection. And my take on the speech and on the announcement of the drawdown is that it was really just the kickoff to his 2012 bid for the presidency. And honestly, I don't want to be that guy, you know? I don't want to be the cynical, hard-bitten lefty who just won't cut Obama a break. You know, those people that just, like, hardcore, whatever he says, he's full of it, he's lying. I don't want to be that guy. And so when I was listening to his speech, I wanted to believe that he was sincere. And somewhere I really do believe he would like to end the war in Afghanistan. And I understand that he faces political realities that make any kind of radical action to end the war in Afghanistan or Iraq or Libya or all over the world impossible. You see, but that's precisely where I take issue with him. You see, we elected him on the promise that he would change the political realities that make it impossible to end imperial wars. Remember this?
A long time coming. But tonight, because of what we did on this day, in this election, at this defining moment, change has come to America.
See, but this isn't change. Drawing down 15% of the troops is not ending the war in Afghanistan. It's not a real drawdown, just like leaving 50,000 troops in Iraq isn't ending the war in Iraq. Retracting a surge in troops put in place by him and then taking credit for it is like a retailer who marks everything up 30% and then advertises a 30% off sale. And with a 1,000 military bases still fully funded and operational around the world, you can bet that in spite of what Obama says that America isn't about empire, that America is all about empire.
We're a nation that brings our enemies to justice while adhering to the rule of law and respecting the rights of all our citizens. We protect our own freedom and prosperity by extending it to others. We stand not for empire, but for self-determination.
Right, so long as that self-determination doesn't conflict with ours, and then you better watch your ass because here comes Uncle Sam to take you out. And by the way, Mr. Obama, if you respect the rights of all of our citizens so much, why did you vote for a warrantless wiretapping program that violates the Fourth Amendment of our Constitution? And do we really protect our freedom by extending it to others at the tip of a cruise missile? Or do we protect our own freedom by upholding the laws that were violated in getting us into these insane wars to begin with? And don't even get me started on the whole conflating assassination with justice, because I know you know better. And so as eloquently as he says things, as much as I want to believe him, Obama is really shoveling the same old crock of shizzle we've been getting from our government for 40 years.
As you can see from the progress we have made to date and by this announcement tonight, the American involvement in Vietnam is coming to an end. The day the South Vietnamese can take over their own defense is in sight. Our goal is a total American withdrawal from Vietnam.
That was Nixon, 1971. The Vietnam War didn't end until 4 years later in 1975 when Saigon fell, and the only reason we left is because we got our butts kicked, or we'd probably still be there. And after 60,000 Americans and 2 million Southeast Asians lost their lives. And without saying so much, the real reason Obama is talking about withdrawal is because he knows, like we know, that it isn't working and that it will never work. And that two-thirds, add to that, that two-thirds of the American want us out of Afghanistan altogether. And right now, he knows that if he has any hope of getting reelected, he better get ahead of this and do something about it pronto. That's why I say this drawdown isn't about anything but reelection. It's gestural at best, an obfuscation and a lie at worst. Because if President Obama declared an end to the Afghanistan war tomorrow, U.S. military would remain in that country doing what they have always done, doing what they are doing in Iraq, protecting the economic interests of multinational big business. And it makes me think of Cuba, you know, and why American big business just never got over it. I mean, they had big plans for Cuba, but they also got their butts kicked there. You see, it was more than just the money they lost. Their pride was bruised. Their omnipotence had been challenged and defeated. And that's what the Bay of Pigs was really all about. The wounded pride of big business applying pressure to Congress, Congress applying pressure to the military, and the military applying pressure to the commander-in-chief to circumvent another country's self-determination because it conflicted with ours. And that's the real point here, isn't it? The American hubris and what will be our undoing in the end is the arrogance and entitlement of our corporations to exploit our democracy to achieve their economic ends. This is the hallmark of empire. And sure, it's all about self-determination, so long as it's their self-determination. But anyone else's interest that interferes, oh, you better watch out. See, this isn't anything new either. America has been doing this since its inception, when it enslaved one race and eliminated another to build a country. In fact, this is the legacy of the Western world. Only what's different now, and what is really hurting us and our friends and our neighbors, is that our empire is now feeding on itself. So when Obama concludes his speech about ending the war in Afghanistan by talking about nation building here at home, I find a special kind of irony in it.
We are a nation whose strength abroad has been anchored in opportunity for our citizens here at home. Over the last decade, we have spent $1 trillion on war at a time of rising debt and hard economic times. Now we must invest in America's greatest resource, our people. America, it is time to focus on nation building here at home.
He's right. It's time to focus on nation building here at home, but only because the corporations which once leveraged our democracy to prey on third world nations are now third worlding America. They have brought this country and our people to its knees through the same kind of policies that brought most of the third world to its knees. Policies of debt and war and dismantling the social infrastructure that have left us scared and desperate and turning on each other while the very richest among us extract the wealth and soul of our nation. So for me, this silly little drawdown is about the same old thing I always rail about on this show, the minutia of politics, the ambition of one man and his allies seeking more power through reelection. Because it's the surface of the conversation, the one that we have in place of what we should be talking about, because this war and every war since World War II has been about the same thing. Empire building. It's what Eisenhower warned us against. You want an end to war, Mr. Obama? Break up the multinational defense corporations. You want economic justice? Stand up to the wealthiest 2% of this nation and make them pay their fair share. You want to build nation build here at home, Mr. Obama? You want new industries, alternative energy, prosperity, a living wage, social justice? Then toss out the Wall Street lobbyists in your administration you promised you'd never hire, and stand up to banks and Wall Street and health insurance industries and CEOs that make 500 times what their workers make, and tell them that their day is over. Tell them in no uncertain terms that a new day has arrived, the people's day, And if you want to withdraw something, withdraw the veil that conceals the power that really runs our government. Because if you want to talk about the greatness of the American people to get reelected, then serve us. And I promise you, when you do that, we will be there. When you take a stand, we will be right behind you. Call on us. Because if you believe in the American people, I mean really, truly believe in the American people the way you say, then you must take a great leap of political faith. The kind of faith we put into you. And trust us. The way we trusted you. We promise you, we won't let you down. When we come back, it's your calls. Am I being too hard on the president? Am I being the hard-bitten lefty that I say I don't want to be? Give us a call here, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. Let's talk about this. What do you think?
Desk construction.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. We're talking about the drawdown in Afghanistan, and I was pretty hard on President Obama. I feel like this is just wholly inadequate. I was saying it's gestural at best, a lie at worst, an obfuscation of what really needs to happen, because the conversation that we really need to be having is about American empire. And I found it interesting that he mentioned empire and nation building. And those are, nation building is usually a term that applies to nations abroad, third world nations, nations that are broke, that quote, need democracy. But I want to have a different conversation. What do you think? Am I being unfair to the president? Is he doing his best? 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620 are the numbers here. Let's go to Ed in Lake Oswego. Ed, welcome to Mad as Hell in America.
Hey, thanks so much, Adam.
What's up, Ed?
You know, the thing is, I love Obama. I will vote for him over any Republican whatsoever, but he certainly seems to be now Republican-like. I mean, it drives me crazy. The nation-building stuff you're talking about, and also the idea that all of us believe that only the military should give advice on what the military should be doing, and that's in contravention of the basic way the country was set up. What do you think about that?
No, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, one of the reasons for having the Pentagon be run essentially by civilians or headed by civilians was to keep it separate, right? So there wasn't a consolidation of federal power between the Pentagon and the executive branch or any other branch of our government. But, you know, really what it is, it's just turned into an unholy alliance.
I like very, very much what you said about breaking up the military-industrial complex countries. I mean, that should go all the way to the major media. GE controls so much of, you know, what we see on the internet, on the cable television and so on. They all have their hands and stuff.
Yeah, so you don't think I was being too hard on President Obama? I mean, did it strike you strange that he used the term nation building?
I found that very frightening, and I don't think you were at all hard enough on him. When, yeah, the idea that also the generals think that we can construct a strong centralized government in Afghanistan. There never has been such a thing. There will never be such a thing there. And if we rest our hopes in that, we're going to be there forever.
Yeah, well, we have George Bush to thank for some of the problems that we have in Afghanistan. I mean, when we went in there and chased out the Taliban, what happened was is that they just left the warlords alone. They just said, look, if you leave us alone, we'll leave you alone. And man, you've got a country run by warlords. And it's a very clan-driven country. So you're right. The idea that somehow we're going to be setting up a centralized government from the arrogance and conceit of our democracy is ludicrous, is absolutely ludicrous.
The mayor of Kabul, Karzai, will not rule any more than a small portion of that country.
And I wonder, I hope it's not lost on anybody that Karzai used to work as a consultant for Union 76 and that, you know, there's been a gas pipeline in the works for, you know, since the 1970s. So, you know, again, back to this idea that what we're talking about is empire. What we're talking about is a big business leveraging our democracy and using our military to secure their interest. I mean, back to Smedley Butler. I mean, that was where I first went, right, got it. Absolutely got it.
War is a racket. He should know.
Yeah. War is a racket. Ed, thanks so much for the calls. I really appreciate it.
Give him hell.
I'm trying. Numbers here are 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. We're talking about the, quote, drawdown in Afghanistan, and I'm taking a pretty hard line with the president, and I'm not going to quibble with amounts, you know, 15,000 and 10,000 and 30,000. I did say that it's a little bit like marking everything up 30%, right? I mean, he's responsible for the troops that he's pulling out. He's responsible for that surge, and now he's saying, you know, everything's 30% off, and he's doing it now because in a year from now it's going to be July, and it's going to be 4 months before the presidential election, and he doesn't want to be talking about doing it. He wants it to be already done, right? Nancy, I don't know where, in Portland, welcome to Mazel in America. We got about a minute and a half. Nancy, are you there?
Hello?
Hello. Welcome to Mazel in America. Is this Nancy? Do I have it right?
Yes, it's Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. What do you want to say? What do you think? Am I being too hard on the president?
Absolutely not. Not even a little. You are my hero. You are saying what needs to be said.
Thank you.
He needs to behave as though he's on our side.
He does.
We don't want him to try and get along with these thugs.
He's got to stand up to them.
They are ugly, and their tactics are ugly, and we need somebody on our side, and it should be Obama.
It should be. That was the change that he promised us. He promised us that it was a moment in history. It was a game-changing election. It was not a game-changing election. It was meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Nancy, thanks for the call. That's my break music. When we come back, your calls, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. Am I being too hard on the president? Call in, let me know. Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's one and only progressive talk station, on an absolutely stunning day here in Portland, Oregon. Looks like summer might just be starting here. We're desperate for it. I have just had about enough gray that any human being could possibly take. We're talking about President Obama's drawdown and of the troops in Afghanistan, and I'm kind of taking a bit of a cynical approach here. I really want to believe the guy. I really want to like this guy, man, and I really wanted to believe in him then, and I still want to believe in him, and I think in his heart he's there, but in his spine, he's definitely does not seem to be there. And so I really felt, I'm saying that I feel like this was really just all about reelection, that it's gestural at best. It's obfuscation of what really needs to be talked about, which is American empire. I found it ironic that he even mentioned empire and drew attention to it. And then he kind of had the audacity to mention this whole notion of nation building, you know, and that's usually something that we talk about after we've destroyed a country, right? Then we build them back up after they've been destroyed by war. And there is a war going on in this country. There is a class war going on. There is a corporate war going on, not against each other, but against us. And I feel like this is all about that, because every war since World War II, in my mind, has been fought on an imperial basis, has been a war for profit in one form or another. So what do you think? Am I being too hard on the president? Should I be cutting him a break? Should I be harder on the president? The numbers here are 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. I know it is a stunning day, but this is an important conversation. I want to hear from you. The numbers again, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. Let's go to Max in Portland. Max.
Hi there.
Welcome to Mad as Hell in America. What's up, Max?
Well, I don't think you're being too hard on Obama at all. The way I check myself is I say, what would be my reaction if George Bush Jr. had said the same?
That's fair. Yeah, that's pretty good.
When I was looking at Obama, I thought to myself, This is George Bush Jr. with skin pigmentation and a high school vocabulary instead of a first grade vocabulary.
Well, he's got a good vocabulary. I don't know. I don't know how his skin pigmentation factors into it. But I think your point about the fact that he's saying the same things. That's why I played the Nixon clip, right? He's saying the same things. They've been giving us the same line of crap for 40 years. They're going to end the war. I'm sick of even talking about ending wars. Why do we keep starting them?
Yeah,
right?
And fortunately or unfortunately, I'm old enough to have been drafted and served during the Army during Vietnam. I have a quagmire when I see one, and that's exactly what this is.
That's exactly what all of this is. And yes, he inherited this from George Bush. But I wonder, let me ask you a question, Max. Do you think if President Obama had been president during 9/11, would he have gone into Afghanistan?
Unfortunately, I do think it, yes.
I think he would have. Would he have gone into Iraq?
No.
No.
No sane person would have done that.
Right. No sane person would have done that. Max, thanks so much for the call. Thanks for your service in Vietnam. You guys got screwed and lied to. And
We didn't get screwed any more than anyone else.
Yeah, well, that's a good attitude. Max, thanks so much for the call. I really, really appreciate it.
Hey, bye.
Numbers here are 248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. Last caller brought up the point, you know, what if this was coming out of the mouth of George W. Bush? Would liberals be cutting him slack? I don't hear a lot of libs actually cutting President Obama slack. What do you think? Numbers here, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. Let's have this conversation. Take your phone outside, though, man, and enjoy the sun. Let's go to Andy in PDX. Welcome to Mad as Hell in America. Andy, what's up?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just listening to you guys. I really enjoy the station, and I'm glad
Thanks.
I'm listening today.
Are you out in the sun, Andy?
Sort of. I'm in my apartment. I just got back from a run. I did some ivy pulling today at Tryon Park. So
right on.
But yeah, I don't think any of us are being harder on him enough. I don't know. I'm a big fan of Sam Cedar, and I think he brought up a point one time about how I don't think we're practical enough as Americans in voting. We don't view it as this practical thing. We get mad when a person like Obama, you know, somebody such as Obama doesn't do everything that we want. Well, we're supposed to go out and vote and then put pressure on him to do the things that are necessary to make a, you know, I guess this society a well-oiled machine where, you know, everybody's being taxed fairly. Everybody is doing their part to have clean water, good roads, bridges that aren't about to fall apart, you know, such as the Selwood Bridge, you know, things of that nature. You know, I don't think we're being hard on him enough. I should say we're not putting enough pressure on him.
Andy, how do we put pressure on him? How do we do it?
En masse, we have to. I think that everybody that complains about the system and the way it's set up, instead of saying it's broken, well, let's make it work the way it's supposed to. And it's about talking and understanding how everything is. I mean, this sounds kind of corny and to a certain extent, but everything is interconnected, you know?
No, it is. It's not corny.
When we talk about it, I think as a society, we view these spiritual things, I think, as these corny, like, metaphysical, you know, pie in the sky, you know, we should just be able to do whatever we want, you know, and then everybody, you know, then we're just going to be held accountable. And it's not that easy. You know, a lot of politics are played. You know, a lot of things get in the way. Humans always get in the way of themselves. Their mind always gets in the way of themselves.
Well, I want, when you have an idea, because we need to come up with ideas on how to apply pressure. And thanks so much for the call, Andy.
I appreciate it.
I'm going to move on, man. Thank you. You know, in Roosevelt's day, the unions put pressure on society. They put radical pressure on society. He had to respond. I don't see that. You know, a few weeks ago, we talked about technology and how, you know, how we're kind of hypnotized by our comfort. And I'm wondering, you know, why aren't we out in the streets? How do we apply pressure to President Obama to be the truly progressive president? Like I said, I want him to take that step. I wanted him when everything was going down in Wisconsin, I wanted him to get on a plane and go to Wisconsin and support those workers. Why didn't he? Right? So how do we get him to do that? We have to put enough pressure on him so that he does it. right? We've got to put that pressure on him so that he's got to get on that plane. And he's got to step off in Wisconsin, and he has to support those union workers, or he won't be reelected. Let's move on. Let's go to, is it Dylan in Portland? Is this Dylan?
Yeah, it's Dylan.
Hey, Adam. Dylan.
Hey, great talking with you. I don't think you're being too hard on Obama, and I don't know what your background is, but I think you really have a knack for the radio, so I'm really thankful that you're on the air.
Thank you.
You bet. But what I wanted to say is that what I needed Obama to say, and I may even support his military strategy, if he could explain it to me. I mean, what is it that we haven't been able to accomplish over the past 10 years that he thinks we could accomplish in the next three, and why is it that what we couldn't do in 10 years we can now do in three, and he cannot make that connection. And I think what we need to do to answer your other question is we need to put pressure on him. I saw the Democratic Party of Oregon's Facebook page last week called this the new direction forward and put a positive spin on it. We can't do that. We need to be honest with Obama, and as your previous caller said, would we be okay with it if Bush had done it? And the answer to that is, of course, no. And we need to communicate that to the president instead of trying to covering up for him, which is what I feel like most Democrats now are doing.
Yeah, you make a lot of great points. I wonder if George Bush had said this, would the state Democratic Party be putting out a message that said, this is the way forward? We know the answer. It's a rhetorical question. Dylan, thanks so much for the call. Great points, man. Great points. All right, I'm going to go to Kurt, who thinks I am being too hard on the president. Kurt, welcome to Mad as Hell in America. You think I'm being too hard on President Obama?
I do. I don't know what you really expect. Do you expect 100,000 troops to get on a C-14 and fly out of the Middle East? I mean, what would that look like to other countries? This is an incredibly important region in the world as well. We have Pakistan, the tribal areas of Pakistan. We're moving from a participant in the war to an intermediary, a mediator between tribes, between clans, et cetera, et cetera. And it needs to be done slowly and responsibly.
I understand your point, and I want to be able to be rational about it, but I feel that this drawdown is just gestural, and the timing of it to me, doesn't seem suspicious to you? I mean, he went in with a surge. He surges 30,000 troops, and then says, "Hey, I'm bringing 30,000 troops home. I'm having a 30% off sale, but we're just even. We got 100,000 private contractors over there and 68,000 troops. So are we real? What are we really doing, Kurt? That's my point.
Well, this is, you asked if you were being too cynical. Yes. Look what you're just saying. You're being skeptical of the timing. You're being skeptical of the reasons. You can't just take it at face value. If you're asking if you're being cynical, you are being cynical.
I guess I'm looking for an alternative. I mean, it doesn't seem substantive enough. I guess that's what I'm saying, Kurt. It just seems like, okay, in a year from now, in July, 4 months before the election, he's going to have 30,000 troops, which was a surge that he put in place that didn't essentially work, or he wouldn't be probably pulling it out. So, yeah, I am being cynical, and I'm looking for something, for him to talk about how this whole thing was a disaster and a mistake.
No, he would never say that.
Right.
No president would ever say that.
Why not?
That's irresponsible.
Why?
That's the troops, for instance, that are still there, the lives that have already been spent. To come out and say such a radical thing like that is just simply irresponsible.
You think it would put the troops in danger if he came out and said that?
I think it could, yeah.
Why? How? How does it endanger the troops if we come out? I mean, what about Vietnam? Let's take that as an example. I mean, if we use the rationale that you're putting forth, and I'm not saying you're not making good points. Part of me really wants to agree with you. As I said, I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, hey, man, you know, he's doing the best that he can. What should he do? Just end the war tomorrow and bring everybody home? I mean, what would happen in Afghanistan? I want to believe him. But, I mean, with the logic that you're using, then it's endless war. It just goes on forever. We never declare an end to it. We never say this war is wrong. Okay. No one's ever said Vietnam was wrong.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What happens if, let's say, hypothetically, we get 100,000 people out by the end of the year, and then that region spirals out of control, then Al-Qaeda regains a foothold, then perhaps they even gain a weapon of mass destruction from Pakistan. What would you be saying then? That we got out of there too early?
I don't know what I would be saying then. I mean, it's such a purely hypothetical. I have trouble answering the question.
But I mean,
but
think of these things.
But isn't that the same logic that George Bush used? Well, let's do it before there's a mushroom cloud. I mean, if it's all fear-based...
That was based on false intelligence, and it's a false equivalency, and you know that.
Well, okay, I think that's a fair challenge, but my point is the reasoning is fear-based. And so how long do we continue to justify war based on the fact that we're afraid of what might happen? It's keeping us entangled.
I agree with you. Afghanistan is a no-win situation. I absolutely agree with you. But we're going in the right direction. It might not happen as quickly as you would like it, but we're going in the right direction.
I dig it, Kurt. I appreciate the call. I appreciate the reasoning. My wife would agree with you, and part of me really wants to agree with you. And I think you make a lot of good points. Kurt, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate that.
Well, if you ever get divorced, maybe you can introduce me to your wife.
Thanks for the call, man. Take care. Kurt, great call. So that was a great call. I don't agree with him fundamentally, but there are aspects. We are headed in the right direction, but I am cynical about the timing. Let's move on. Let's see how much time we have. We've got about a minute left. Paul in Portland. Welcome to Mad as Hell in America. What do you think about, I think it was Rick's call.
Well, I would just look at what Eisenhower said on his exit speech, where he said, be weary of the military-industrial complex.
Right.
That was a warning, a warning to the American people. And,
right.
Yeah,
right. So
I think you're right, but about that, a fear-based decision to stay there. Oh gosh, what could happen? I do hate to see the women being brutalized.
I do too.
Over there.
I do too. I hate what's happening over there. And I hate, as you say, I hate the way that they treat their people. But is that our business? Paul, thanks so much for the call. I think there's another way to do it. Thanks so much for the call. I think there's another way to do it. I think we can do it with a vision. I think we can do it with universities, hospitals, education. Give me a call. We're still talking about this in the last segment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. How long to sing this song, the song of lament over war? How long before we sing a new song about peace? How long before we stop making fear-based decisions, start making love-based decisions? That's what and who we are as people, as a species, as a being. That is in our consciousness. How long until we sing a different song? I want to sing a different song. I appreciated Rick's call, and I appreciate what he's saying. What is he going to do? Just put 100,000 troops on the plane and bring them home, right? But man, it's the consciousness that we use to get into these things that's the problem, and then it's the fear-based thinking we use that never gets us out. 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620 are the numbers here. We're going to get to calls in a minute. I want to encourage you to stay into the second hour and the third hour. We have a great show for you in the second hour. In the first segment, we're going to meet Bud Howard, a union organizer, really just a regular guy on the ground in Iowa in a place called Keokuk, Iowa, trying to just make a living, and he's had to fight like hell with Roquette, which is the manufacturing plant there, just to keep his job. There's been a nine-month-long strike there, nine-month-long lockout. They are trying to bust the union in this small town, and it's having a devastating impact on the community. We're going to meet him, and he's going to tell us about it. You really need to hear about this, because if you care about the economy, then you care about unions, right? If you care about your own prosperity, then you need to care about what's happening to the unions. If you care about checks on corporate power, then you need to care about what's happening to the unions, because unions are our only check on corporate power. They are being busted, and people built those unions with their blood, with their lives, and with real sacrifice. Let's go to Nick in Portland. Welcome to Mad as Hell in America.
Hey, Nick. I'm sorry.
You're Nick.
Hey, Adam, your show's progressing very nicely. I really like how you're what you're doing with it. Let me just
Thank
say
you.
Something real. Let me, to respond to Rick. Society, or let me say, the democratic forms of government need agitators, need instigators. You know, it's not the role of everybody in a democratic representative form of government to go along with the company line or the program line or what, you know, the authorities say necessarily.
Right.
It's important that the agitators have their voice, that the people that are out there trying to push the envelope of policymaking are out there as well. So it's sort of like a counteractive point, if you will, to what the company or what the presidential line is, if you will. Now, all that being said, what I see here is these wars bleeding us dry economically. We cannot any longer afford them.
Right.
That's what it comes down to. It's a matter of affordability, if you will. We cannot, we don't have the luxury of affording them anymore, in a sense.
And absolutely. Absolutely.
And in terms of actually putting pressure, you know, we need to decentralize. If people are really interested in doing that, they need to physically take their bodies into the streets. That's what will get the government to pay attention. We can decentralize demonstrations. In other words, 500 people are a lot more effective in 50 different locations, 10 individuals per location, rather than 500 people walking down Burnside. You have to decentralize your direct action and really turn the heat up. Close the bridges. 25 people could shut down Burnside Bridge. 25 people could Hawthorne Bridge, and really start to put the pressure on the business community to start to respond.
Right on, Nick. I'm going to move on. That's a great comment. Stay with the third hour. You're going to meet a guy who's done this, who's doing this, who's getting dangerous. Thanks for the call, Nick. Let's go. We only got about 3 minutes left in the segment before the big, big hour break. Jeff in Northwest Portland.
Yeah, Adam, good stuff as usual. And,
thanks.
And I really like what Nick just said. That's really good stuff.
It is good stuff. It's right on.
I want to say that, you know, the progressive left wing, we have to begin drawing big lines in the sand and saying enough is enough when it comes to all these half measures and half truths. True progressive leaders like Kucinich and Barbara Lee and Bernie Sanders, they're the rarity. Obama's, he's not one of them. He's proven to be no more than a corporate centrist, which means he's doing as much as he can for the military-industrial complex, the banksters, the oil companies, et cetera, et cetera. And he'll continue to do that until he sees enough of us paying attention and threatening his ability to be reelected.
Right on, Jeff. Thanks for the call. I got a bunch of calls here. I want to get to them before the break, but that's right. I mean, what John's saying is we got to get out in the streets. We got to make President Obama do this. We've got to make him do it. John, we got about a minute and a half left. What's up? Welcome to Mattis Hell in America. Uh-oh, that's 1 minute. If you want to hold on through a very long break, John, I'll take your call on the other side. So,
okay.
Everybody hold on. We got all excited. Oh, I think I just dumped John. John, give us a call back. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. We are discussing the president's withdrawal, and we've got some pretty good pushback. I thought Rick did a pretty good job of beating on me a little bit, telling me that I was being hard on the president. I am being hard on the president. We need to be hard on this president. We got to be the backbone in his backbone, man. We got to be the calcium in his diet, given the backbone to stand up to these people. We got a long break coming up. When we come back, we're going to start with your calls, and we have a phenomenal second hour. Stay with us. I'm all fired up.